Good morning. Good morning. Please be seated. Thank you. Well, it's always an honor to share God's word and to be with people that truly love him and his word in the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, can you put that first slide on? Today, I'm going to share on hearing from God, seeking a face-to-face relationship. This past month, we've been studying about walking by the Spirit, hearing God's voice, and today I want to share about the intimacy of our relationship. You know, that song, "We walk and he walks and talks with me." We're not just here, put on this earth to figure it all out. We're put on here to enjoy a relationship with God Almighty, who has become our Abba Father because of what Jesus Christ has accomplished in restoring back that fellowship that Adam lost. It's the Father's will that we have an intimate relationship. Exodus 33:11 says that Moses... Okay. I'm going to have to turn this a little bit. Am I okay? Okay. Oh, well. All right. Moses was a man that knew God face to face. To have a face-to-face relationship, you look at someone in their eyes. You get to know them. And God wants us to know him intimately, not just, oh yeah, I go to this certain church and that's where God appears to me. He has chosen his dwelling in each one of us. A building could not contain him, but our lives, our hearts have contained that Holy Spirit. That gives us that power. It gives us that love to be able to say, my Father is my Abba, my Daddy. And he wants us to know who we are, that we are his children. 1 John 3:1 says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are." And I love that word lavish because I think it describes God because he's not just in a little box, but he's all around us. He overwhelms us with all that he has. It says that he wants to bless us exceeding abundantly. He wants to bless us, but exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's the kind of lavished love that he has for us. And he wants us to know him. And the rest of that verse says, "The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him." And that word "know" is the Greek word gnosko, which is to know entirely, to know intimately. You know, a husband and wife are probably the closest relationship in the physical to knowing intimately. But my husband can't read my mind, and half the time I don't know what I'm thinking either, what I want. But to think that God chose his dwelling in you, and he knows your very thoughts. He knows the thoughts before you were even born, he knew your future. And if we tap into that knowledge, that awareness, that intimacy, our lives are going to be amazing. But you know, a lot of Christians don't know that relationship of God being our Abba Father and that we are his beloved children. You know, it says in Romans 8:1 that there's therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. We aren't allowed to think bad of ourselves. No, because we are loved and forgiven all the time. John 17:3, the NIV, tells us of what eternal life is. It says, "Now this is eternal life, that ye know you, that they know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." That knowing is gnosko, to know intimately. To know God and Jesus Christ intimately. It's just not a period of time, eternal life. But it's an intimate relationship. And I don't think we'll ever, the more you study, the more I study the word, the more I learn and learn. But can you imagine all eternity learning with our Father? Learning how amazing life is? It's overwhelming. When you know someone, you recognize their voice, their laugh, their mannerisms. We start to recognize God's voice through his word. And it's very important that we study his word so that we don't get thoughts like, well, son, I'm going to heal you, but you have to do something else. Because you know why there's no but in that healing? Is because by Jesus Christ's stripes, I was healed. That's what the Word of God says. And that's what God's voice talks. He speaks of his love, his goodness in his word. And that's what we need to keep our heads in. The written word of God is the will of God. And 2 Peter 1:21 says, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. God spoke to holy men, men that had the Spirit, and they wrote down the word of God. So the Bible is literally the words from God. So God Almighty, who created the heavens and the earth, has given us a handbook that we can know his very heart. So wouldn't you want to spend time looking at that handbook? We had a problem with our barbecue the other day. I couldn't figure it out. Bob said, well, I guess I better bring out the handbook. There it was. There's a little igniter problem. That's all we needed. But if you have problems, or if you just want to know God more, go to his word. We need to take that time. How many times do we eat in a day? The word says that thy words were found and I did eat them, and they were the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Is that your heart? If not, I promise you, you spend time in the word, it will be the joy and rejoicing. Getting what is in a relationship? You know, we have so many relationships. Look, we have the father and mother relationship with those children. We need to get in a relationship, you get to know someone. You need honesty, integrity, faithfulness, time, conversations, attention, follow through, love, forgiveness, to know that you were chosen. One thing our children need more than anything is to know that we love them, that we chose them and we'll spend quality time together. Just recently we did a baby shower for our daughter, Suzanne, who's going to have a baby in December, and it'll be our fifth grandson. And I had kept a little card that, I kept a few little notes that she had written to me over the years, and a lot of them were reminding me that I need to be a great mom. And one note says, Mom, I wish you didn't have to work so much. And I guess I always thought multitasking was the work of a super mom. But you know, we don't have to be a super mom. That's not the answer. Being a mom that loves God and prays and gives the attention to our children right now, not, oh yeah, when I get done with this, I'll play with you. When we go visit our grandsons, I usually have to sleep a little ahead of time to make up for it, because they get up very early and I get up very early to be with them. And the reason I do that is I want to know them. I want them to know their grandma. And I want them to know that as we sit and we play games, that I can talk to them about God. And Deuteronomy 6, chapter 6, verse 4 through 7, are great words of encouragement for parents. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. So we want to lead by example to our children. We want to live it, not just be talking about it. We want to be a doer of the word. And you know, everything that we do, we want to think of God. And this is a direction for us adults too. You know, if we are kind of bummed at work because things aren't going well, think about, God has me there because someone needs my love or someone needs my prayers. So always realize wherever you are needed. He knows where you are. Romans 8:14 says, those that are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. We have that Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead living inside of us. That's power. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's intimacy. Intimacy is God's idea. An intimate friend, spouse, is someone who, with whom we share our deepest personal feelings. Intimacy is what Adam and Eve had in the garden. They walked and talked with God. Intimacy is what they lost when they sinned. They could not. What did they do? They hid from God. God wants us to seek him, to seek his presence. And he's right here. He's right there. You don't have to go send him an email. Hey, let's meet so-and-so time. He dwells within us. So anytime we have that spirit that we can talk, speak perfectly to him, pray in the spirit. Adam was a friend of God. That's pretty intimate, right? David was a man after God's own heart. Jesus Christ, God said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." Do you think God was pleased with his son? Yes, and why? Because he only did it the Father's will. He obeyed. And you know what? He sought his Father. It says in the morning he rose up a great while before day and went and prayed. How many times in the garden he prayed? He had a relationship. He spoke to his Father. That's how he could do the things that he did. He only did the will of the Father. In the garden, he said, "Father, I don't know if I can do this, but not my will, but thine be done." It's a relationship, a talking relationship that we have. God has met all of our needs to restore that intimacy with us. He's waiting for us to make a move toward him. We see through the scriptures that we seek the Lord. Seek the Lord first. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seeking means to enjoy his presence directly, not secondhand. We personally, an intimate relationship. We're going to read, start in Exodus chapter 33, and we're going to read about the relationship, an example of the relationship that Moses had with God. Moses was a man that knew God face to face. And we had that same relationship. That was a foreshadowing of the relationship that we would have today. Isn't that amazing to know God face to face, to know him intimately? Isn't that something we all want to do? Are y'all with me? All right. Well, we're going to go to Exodus chapter 1. I'm not showing all the verses on here, but we'll show some of them. 33:1 says, "Now the Lord said to Moses, 'Depart and go up from here, you and the people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt, to the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, to your descendants I will give it. And I will send my angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanites and the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites." Perizzites and the Hivite and the Jebusite. "Go up to the land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in your midst, lest I consume you on the way, for you are a stiff-necked people." That's pretty interesting, huh? So, "And when the people heard this bad news, they mourned, and no one put on his ornaments. For the Lord had said to Moses, 'Say to the children of Israel, you are a stiff-necked people.'" And this is a lot of people he's telling. He's one, and all of them are in the millions. "You are a stiff-necked people. I could come up into your midst in one moment and consume you. Now, therefore, take off your ornaments that I may know what to do to you." So the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by Mount Horeb. Now, when the children of Israel left Egypt, the Egyptians gave them everything they could. They gave them all their jewelry, all their gold, everything, said, "Please, just leave. We want to live. Leave." So they were very rich. Obviously, there was something about this jewelry and ornaments that were a distraction. And their attitude was they were a stiff-necked people. Now, God provided for them every single day. And then when they got tired of the manna, he gave them quail. He provided for them every day all that they needed for that day. Yeah, that's pretty intimate. He knew exactly what everyone needed, and when someone took more than they needed, it spoiled and was nasty. So God taught them that he's going to provide. And that's something that each of us need to know, that he will always provide for today. And he will provide for tomorrow. So we don't need to worry. It says, be anxious for nothing. That's a big order. For nothing. I used to call I was pretty much a worry wart. I was worried about everybody. But that's wrong to worry. That's disobeying God, okay? So now Moses meets with the Lord. Verse 7, Moses took his tent and pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. Some of the other translations called it the Temple of Meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the Tabernacle of Meeting, which was outside the camp, and they went to seek his presence. Get words from the Lord. So it was when Moses went out to the tabernacle that all the people rose and each man stood at his tent door and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. Isn't that amazing? That pillar of cloud that went over them during the day went over to that tabernacle. Everyone could see, they could witness, God was going to talk to Moses. And when God talked to Moses, usually he came out with, he was glorious, that they couldn't even see it. Well, you know, we have the glory of the Lord. We are changed. Do you know that? Do we really believe that? That is what our Heavenly Father wants for us. So, where am I? I'll go verse 10. And all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose and worshipped, each man in his tent. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And he would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. See, he had a special place that he went to be in God's, to seek the Lord, to be in his presence. And that's what we need. We need that private time to be with the Lord. If it's on your couch or it's in your prayer room, whatever, we need to find a place where we can concentrate. Because this world is full of distractions. We all know that. Then God promises Abraham or Moses that he would be in his presence. Verse 12 says, then Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Verse 13, beyond the slide. Now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you. Moses wanted to know God even more. He had that intimate face-to-face relationship. He wanted to continue to know him. That I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people. You know, sometimes as parents, we get frustrated, and you talk to God and say, you know, God, this my son is yours too. You're responsible too, so give me a little hand here. Verse 14, and he said, God said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. What an assurance. Is God's presence with us always? Absolutely. Will he give us rest? Yeah. And you know what? We need to let our minds rest. Our minds are going all the time. We need to rest in the fulfillment of that Jesus Christ accomplished all that we need. We just enjoy that and enjoy that fellowship. Verse 15, then Moses said to God, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For I know then it will be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us. So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. Moses is saying, you know, God, if you don't go with me, keep us right here, because no one's going to know how special we are unless you're with us. So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. That intimacy is tremendous. Do we, when we talk to our Abba, do we say, show me your love, show me how to love more, show me how to understand my child? And verse 18 says, and he said, Moses said, please show me your glory. He wanted more. And we want more. We, to know someone intimately, you just don't find out in an hour or two. It's a lifetime. My husband and I have been married 44 years. We're continuing to still know and appreciate each other more and more, and I'm sure it'll be even more. A lot of times we finish each other's sentences, but we still, it's not as intimate as our Heavenly Father is with us. Verse 19, then he said, God said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, because he's trying to show him his glory, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But God said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. It says that no man has ever seen God at any time. We cannot see that glory is too much, but we know his spirit. And the Lord said, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock, so it shall be with my glory, when my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, my goodness, but my face shall not be seen. Moses had this amazing relationship with God Almighty. There's five ways Moses' face-to-face relationship is a reality to you today. Number one, Moses kept his appointments with God. We want to seek God's presence daily. Moses needed to be strengthened by God because of the responsibility he had. We have a great responsibility because we are called to do the Father's business. So we need that encouragement. We come boldly before the throne of grace. God always shows up. Don't worry about that. But we need to leave those distractions behind. Number two, when we study his word, ask, show me more, Father, of your will and direction. When you study the words, ask, okay, show me more. You can read a scripture once and then go back a second time and continue to learn more and more. Because he's so much he has for us to learn. The Holy Spirit will teach you. Moses said, show me your glory. Number three, intimacy involves a two-way conversation. So many times we're great. We have these wonderful flowery prayers. And we say amen, and we walk away. Is that a two-way conversation? No. Do you think God Almighty could talk to you? If he talked to Moses, don't you think we are his children, that he can talk to us? But we need to give him time. If you're not hearing God's voice, obviously, you don't have your ears open to listen. With a child, are you going to tell him you love him and then never spend any time with him? No. Or your child calls you and tells you, Mom, all these things are going on, and then you hang up. That's not a very good relationship, is it? Well, we don't want that with our Heavenly Father. He's provided everything for us so that we can enjoy it. Number four. Part of that intimacy is we seek his face, his presence, not his hand. So many times when we pray, I need this, I need this. I want to seek his face so I can know him greater, to know what my genes are all about. You know, I've got God and Christ in me. I have the fullness of the Spirit. Each one of us have the same measure of Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? If I were handing it out, I would give more to those that were a little more diligent and all that. But, you know, God's vision for our lives is huge, and we just need to rise up to it, meet it. Choose to be his beloved son or daughter, not an onlooker. We all have Holy Spirit. We all have the ability to operate on 9 manifestations. Let's start operating them. Don't just watch someone else do it. You have people with needs around you. You're equipped to take care of those needs and to teach them. We all need to teach. Show people who their Heavenly Father is and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a big family God intends to have. Open your heart with your cares and concerns. Don't hold back. You know, God knows our life is an open book to Him. So don't be afraid to say, I'm afraid. I need boldness. I need strength. I need healing. Go to Him and speak to Him. He's got it all prepared for you, but He can't open up that supernatural power unless you make the door open. You are the glory of the Lord and are changed by that changing of your mind of who you are. Those are pretty exciting different points of practical keys to enjoying that face-to-face relationship. Psalm 105:4 says, look to the Lord and His strength, seek His face always. And I want to give you a call to action. Take time to develop this intimate relationship with God, with your Abba Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. Turn off any distractions like your cell phone or computers or iPads so you can spend quality time. Start your day with the Father. You know, we start our day with, I know you can start it with coffee first if you need that. That's not a problem. That's not disobedience or going to the bathroom, whatever. But when you sit down, talk to the Father. Don't turn on the TV and find out what the news is all about. Talk to Him, because I guarantee your day is going to be tremendous, because you're allowing Him to function in your life, to be a part of your life. Give Him quality time. Give Him enough time that He can talk back to you. And I've been journaling for probably 3-4 years now. And I write my prayers down and I write what He says. And the key to that is expecting that He's going to talk to you. Just get that encouragement from Him. We all need pep talks. And our Heavenly Father's got the greatest one for you. So enjoy that face-to-face relationship with Him, because that's His desire. He wants you to seek His presence forevermore. God bless you.
Okay, you want to close with prayer?
Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your tremendous word that You've provided for us, that there's no doubt about it, that You love us and that You've provided a relationship that we can come boldly before Your throne of grace, that we can seek Your face, that we can enjoy Your presence, that we're never alone, that You couldn't possibly forsake us as You never forsook Your Son. I thank You that You will help us to find, to take that time, to remind us to take that time to spend with You, and that we can hear Your voice so clearly, that we can receive Your love and Your grace, and that we can teach others also, that they can see what an amazing life we have because You are our Abba. So I thank You for blessing everyone here. I thank You for healing for each one of us, from the top of our heads to the soles of our feet, as You have provided through Your Son, Jesus Christ. I thank You for joy abounding in our lives, and that we can recognize that power that raised Jesus Christ lives in us, and we can walk in the steps of Jesus Christ, do the works that He did. So thank You, Father, for boldness and confidence and for Your wonderful voice. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.